Good afternoon. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slippy on Thursday, the 12th of May, North London Derby Day. All them gooners are getting far too excited. It's fourth placement. Simmer yourselves down. Flipping, set tottering day soon. Haven't finished above us for about 6 years or whatever it is. Getting all far too carried away. That's your excitement levels. Well, lads, we used to win league titles and we went unbeaten, but now we're happy to finish fourth and above Spurs. Pathetic. Just got sent actually a very funny WhatsApp on a subject I was going to bring up anyway, but I saw an FTS member tweet something a couple of weeks ago, maybe less, about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. And then in the news, we've now got Colleen Rooney and what's her name? Vardy's Mrs. Rebecca Vardy. I don't know what that's about, by the way. But who cares? Why is all this stuff? Why are we on all this bollocks on TV? Who gives a shit? What is the Johnny Depp thing? It's televised, isn't it? What on earth for? Who genuinely gives a monkeys? And who cares about Colleen and flipping Vardy's Mrs. having a flipping Barney about something? Absolute, honestly. The shit that people focus on now in the world, I just find it staggering. The fucking decline in fucking human ability to use your brain and just focus on all this nauseating shit that we're force-fed. Well, not force-fed, because I don't watch it, but it feels like it. It just feels like wherever you go, it's just some bollocks going on. Anyway, enough of that. Right, if you stay on, there's a little bit, another mindset episode moving into sort of this system development, taking it a bit further, looking at then bank size. I walk through an example of where I got one wrong. And kind of got a bit lucky that I was able to adjust it, but the importance of being set up at right, because if I'd experienced the run I had at the start, it would have caused me a lot more grief than it has done. And then we'll move into sort of overfitting, then staking, how we raise stakes and stuff like that. So stay on and listen to that. I've got nothing else today. It's North London Derby. I'll be off up there. Football's back tomorrow. The golf will get underway tonight. Again, and I don't say it all, love me. I just want some, it's just feedback to know whether I'm wasting, like that golf takes, you know, a good couple of hours to put together. If people don't use it or want it, then I won't do it. See, I can just save myself time, that's all. But if it is something that people are using, let me know, and then I know that I can add that into the sort of weekly schedule. But obviously that's underway. If there are any bets, I'll put them in Telegram tomorrow morning prior to doing the football. But have a good Thursday. I'll be back with Zed tomorrow for the Premier League preview. Wolves getting thumped last night by City. Looks like marching to the league. De Bruyne, I believe, scored 4. I haven't seen it, but when you need a man to step up, there you are. That's what happens. Good, fantastic player, De Bruyne. Right, arrivederci. Have a lovely Thursday, gooners. Calm yourselves down, and I'll be back with you tomorrow. Stay on for the mindset. Peace. Let's just do a quick recap on the last episode. We looked at the 7 steps of system development. So they were formulate the strategy, test that on previous data, forward test on live events, analyze and optimize the strategy, bet trade the strategy, compare that live betting trading to your testing period, checking all the points, not just the profit, and then refine and improve it. So just want to go back to some of that and then sort of move it into bank setup as well. So one of the key areas of this is the forward test. That'll be the element here that provides you with the most important set of information, because it will give you live results on a portion of data that you can fully verify, as opposed to just going back to historical observed data. And it'll give you a true insight into what you will go through when you go live as well. You know, you can make that period as long or as short as you like. Obviously, the longer the better. But with gambling and you know, the phrase FOMO, fear of missing out, it's people diving in usually where the errors come, just because they are so badly prepared. Where if you get this into this process of when you're building things, of the walk forward testing, you can experience all that emotion, problems, without losing money, and the issues that that system may throw up. Again, it's just that bit of patience, thinking of where you want to be in 3 to 5 years, as opposed to where you want to be, you know, let's say starting in August at start of a football season, where you want to be in May. And I understand for people that it's difficult, that people may sign up to a football service, be it ours or anybody else's, and thinking, well, I've paid into this and I'm not betting it, I'm not making anything, I've got no chance, so in effect I'm giving money away. Well, you're not, because that, you know, let's say you joined FTS, just take that, FTS data, and for 12 months it's like £200-300. But out of that 12 months, you've built and refined 3 or 4 systems that potentially could give you 200-400 points. Now, all of a sudden, even if you bet them at tenners, it's 3-4 grand. So it's that initial investment with a game plan at the end. And that's the bit that people miss out. It's the game plan at the end. It's, you know, I say it many times, it's no different to somebody going to university. My boy went to university. He's now on a 6-figure salary, but he went through 5-6 years of pain, earning nothing, racking up debt, a bit of student debt, to end up where he is. So I don't see it personally as any different as that. So that forward testing bit is really important. And if any cost is associated to being able to do that, it's just a cost of investment where we want to get to. And I think, you know, if you look at that now and sort of take that on board and think how quickly in the past, and everybody will be guilty of this, how quickly you dived into something and then you stopped as it all got a bit uncomfortable. And obviously that process stops. And just recently, I told an FTS member to stay on small stakes for something for longer, and follow things a bit longer, get used to the process, see what could happen. He didn't. His exact phrase was, no, I want to do it now, I want to up my stakes now. All about earning money, looking to give up work earlier. And he lost £4,000 in a very short space of time. Thoroughly avoidable. But it was that, I want to get this cash in out there. This is going well. I want to earn money, give up work, rather than let me experience all this, see what it is capable of, ups and downs, and then build myself ready to take that forward. And as I say, you're all adults, it's your money. But to me, it's these errors that do the damage, as opposed to what we bet. I'll please say he's getting it all back slowly, and he will get it back, but it's just a life lesson for me that could be avoided. That forward testing, that period, it allows you to do any tweaks and optimization, you know, step 4 in effect, before you risk proper money on it. It'll give you a full view over of that testing data, as I say, and whether the strategy is robust. And if you're dropping me an email saying, should I continue this system, and I pretty much get one of those daily, genuinely, my inbox is flowing with can you check this system requests and all that. So if you're getting that, you've not implemented enough testing, and you're basically passing the buck to me saying, oh, can you tell me what to do now? And of course my experience can help you, and I can look at it, and that's what I do a lot of my time spent doing this. But it's your baby, you're building it. If you get into things of going through steps 1 to 7, you know, then, you know, whilst I'm happy to answer the emails, that they become less needed. I can't stress its importance enough. I don't think it's talked about enough, but that forward testing, if you make it part of what you do before you part with your money, I think you'd all be a lot more comfortable. And once we've been through those steps, the 7 steps, we're obviously into a situation then where we're going to bet and trade a fully tested system. And obviously we're then into a situation where we can sort out our risk, and allow us to assess our risk. So point 1, when we come up with this system idea and we're formulating a system, the formulation of that strategy, it should fit in with your risk profile. If you don't, for example, like laying the draw at prices around 5.0, 6.0, if you know that it's at some stage that's going to make you feel uncomfortable, irrespective of how you set your money up, and I'm going to come and talk about that in a minute, irrespective of the profit it generates, if it's something that is going to be, you know, every bet sitting nil-nil with 60 minutes is becoming a mental battle for you straight out the gate, why would you build such a strategy? And one thing I've learned in sports betting is anything is possible. You know, Leicester winning the league still for me is one of the greatest sporting feats for me in today's football world, how the game is. And it was my constant underestimation of them in that year that cost me money. You know, you may not have seen Forlay the draw losers at 6.0 on the spin. It may not show up in your testing, but it can happen. It will happen. And if you haven't set yourself up properly, it all it's going to do is make you feel grossly uncomfortable. So I do think, you know, in that formulation of strategy, it's really important that you're placing bets that you're comfortable with and you can be relaxed with, and that will avoid then, oh, I've had four lay the draw, oh, six and the four of them on the spin, how unlucky am I? Now, all business has a cost, no matter what we do, and our trading losses become simply a cost of doing business. But we've got to get ourselves in that setup process, not just going through all the testing and that, but when you do get to the stage of live betting, it's got to be something that it's not giving you a cardiac arrest every time something does go wrong, because they will go wrong and there's nothing you can do about it. And I'm going to walk you through an example in a minute. So we get to the stage, obviously, where we're betting, where we need to decide at some stage on the capital we have available and how we're going to apportion that up. And one of the phrases I use all the time to people is bomb-proof. I make no excuse for building from small or going slow. The rush to make money nearly always fails. I've been guilty of it in my own trading. I'm not going to say I haven't. And I've been guilty of it probably more so when advising others, because people come to me wanting to make money. And that's what they see as success, solely monetary. And at times I sort of get sucked into that with them, trying to make them money, where actually the process and giving them a process that is consistent, repeats and generates profit that they can just keep doing forward is far more beneficial. But you know, I do get drawn into, and have done, I've certainly, you know, I've guarded against it now, but certainly have done, with people's desire to make money quickly. Every system will have the drawdowns, and obviously we've been able to identify them in the development and testing. And I will, when I do the written episode of this and put it on the website, I'll include a spreadsheet with some formula to use to do this, to calculate your drawdowns, that you can just simply add very quickly to a spreadsheet and see at a glance what your worst losing runs is. So you've built your system. Obviously you would then look at that drawdown, and your required capital would that you've got, let's say, you know, we'll get to a figure in a minute, but you've got this bank, and you need to factor in the two elements, your risk per bet. Obviously you need to have enough to one stake, you know, if you've got a lot of bets in one day, to cover that liability. You've got to have one to think of the bad run that may come, and you've got evidence of your maximum drawdown, which you can use as a guide to do that in. So, you know, if you are betting around even money, you may want 1.5-2 times your maximum drawdown. If you're betting around laying 5.6 shots, 6 shots, you may want 3 to 4 times your maximum drawdown. There is unfortunately no exact science or formula to it. What you need is to set a structure in place for you to decide how to use your required capital, so it's not just guesswork, and the first hint of a bad run would see your bank in trouble. I, as I say, bomb proof is the way to go, and I'd always say to people to be over cautious as opposed to worry about the size of stake. Get that process going, the money and the stake increases will follow. And I'll do a bit on compounding and ways to increase stakes and do it. But I did get one wrong, and I'm going to talk you through it. I think it's only fair that I do something like this and talk you through. I started developing a strategy in 2017. It was basically six algorithms that all operate in the same market and come together and bet as one system. Initially I used three of them, then I upgraded it to six, and the maximum bets that they could throw out in any one day on a busy day would be 12 bets. So The max risk is laying at 4.0 or under. The max risk, therefore, was 3 points per bet. But, and the bit I didn't factor in correctly enough, was the system could duplicate bets, and the most that a game could occur would be four times. So you could have the same game, 4 point bet in effect. So my max risk per bet on that game would, whilst it was 3 point per bet on that one game, would be 12 points if that game was the max price of 4.0. I'll stress that that doesn't happen very often. I'm not sure it ever has happened at that price. There's certainly been a game that's come up four times, but not at that price. The actual average price historically per bet is 3.22, so the average risk per bet is 2.22 points. The max drawdown from 2017 to 2019, the max drawdown in my historical and forward testing I did over that sort of 2 year period was just over minus 20 points. So I set my bank at 75 points, 3 times 20, and add a bit on top. So 3 times my max drawdown and a little bit more. So 2019, I started betting. And just as I say, give you a little, I started 2017 to 2019, so 2 years I've built this, generated it, followed it, and that gives you some idea of timing and patience in getting something going. And that 2 years probably saved me. In June 2021, so I started betting it 2019. June 2021, I saw a new max drawdown of 21 points, but I had won by that stage 163 points profit. I'd grown my stakes in that winnings, and with that process of taking some profits, withdrawing some profits, and growing my stakes, I'd actually got a betting bank that was now functioning at 90-ish points, just where I'd rejigged things. Still over three times this new max drawdown of 21 points, so I was more than comfortable. It won all those 21 points back. So that was June 2021. Yeah, in September 2021, it had won them all back. And the bank had got up to 241 points total profit. Stakes up, more money out. And still this betting bank was sitting around 90 points. Bearing in mind, so that was September 2021. So bearing in mind, we then had two international breaks over that period, September and October, where there was no football. So probably only between September, when that was about September the 4th, and so between September the 4th, 2nd November, 8 weeks, we probably only had 6 weeks football. In that period, I ran a drawdown of 41 points. So over 50% of what would have been my original 75% bank, and nearly 50% of my new 90-point bank. I'd never seen a run like it. I was very, very confident it could not continue owing to how everything was put together and the system building and testing. But it was uncomfortable. And you do sit and think, well. But football is a funny game. So that was the 2nd of November. By the 12th of December, I'd won all that back. But I'd realised then that this could happen. So I added some of the money I'd drawn out back into the bank, but I wanted, because I wanted to keep the stakes the same, but I wasn't comfortable with 90 points and this sort of dropping down, so I upped it to 150 points, which was now three times the new 40-point drawdown and a little bit more. Chugged along nicely, and by the 27th of February this year, 2022, it broke the 300-point barrier. So from November 2019, to 27th February 2022, it topped the 300 point barrier. I was absolutely over the moon, you know, rock solid. Yes, we've had a few ups and downs and bumps, they're going to come along, but we got to the end of that week, the 27th of February was in, got to the end of that week, 304.5 points up. Absolutely beautiful. That was the 27th of February. There was a international break in March, so again, you know, 10 days out of the next period, no football. It by the 5th of April, that bank was gone from 304 back to 240.16 points. A drawdown in about 5 weeks, bearing in mind there's an international break in there, of 64 points. It was absolute torture. I was hemorrhaging four figures pretty much every day. The minus 40 experience in October had shown me what could happen. And in hindsight was, you know, turned out to be one of the best things that happened, because I was able to adjust after that. And it has subsequently got back on track, and it's recovered most of that 60-point deficit back now. The point of all this is I got it wrong at the start. I was really fortunate it got off to a good start. Fortunate maybe that the 40-point downswing came along. Had the 60-point downswing been right at the start, I'd have been very close to being out of the game. I'd have been down to 10, 15 points and, you know, probably making decisions. You know, if I had 8 bets the next day, I wouldn't have been able to fund them all. So while the drawdown was only 20 points, when I actually look at the risk per bet, where there was the potential of a four game to risk 12 points, setting a bank at 75 points seems really short-sighted. And a bad run of those duplicate games, sometimes games come up two times, three times, a bad run of those games in a short space of time could really hurt me. So I simply had set it up wrong. Now I can see a 60-point downswing, you know, which I couldn't see. Three times 60 is obviously 180, plus a bit on top. 200-point bank, 250-point bank to be safe. If it can do 60, it may well be 70, 80. I'm now prepared for it. I've been really fortunate in a few areas of the timings of them that I could add. I'd taken profit out. I could put back in to stay at the same stake. I do trust the method implicitly. It's future-proof, but I got that initial bank wrong based on not just the downswing, but the risk per bet. Just didn't really. I sort of went on the 20-point figure rather than thinking, what if I have five or six losers at 8 points, 10 points, whatever it may be. So you need to, you know, it gets uncomfortable without a shadow of a doubt. And I say this to be, you know, that period in February was very uncomfortable. I would have gone until the bank was gone because I understand fully, you know, I believe fully in this method. I really do believe fully in it. But I understand that psychologically, once a betting bank gets down to sort of 50% or less, it plays on people and they bail out. And what we need to do is get set up properly at the start. And I certainly, in this instance, should have set myself up better. And as I say, probably been a little bit fortunate with the timings of it, how it came. So we do need to factor in our max drawdown, which obviously, you know, in my case, it was 20. But also your, you know, if I times that by three, it's 60. But obviously, if I had a bet that was max risk 12, that's a fifth of the 60 points. So we need a sum of money first, and that sum of money should be something you can comfortably lose. It's not used for anything else. You've got to go into it thinking I've lost that money or I'm prepared to lose it. Otherwise, you shouldn't be doing this. And if you haven't got that money, do not use anything else. You know, I suggest going back to bonus banking, whatever it may be, to build a bank. So let's say we've done that and we've got £500. That is our capital now. And from that betting capital, we need to work out our points. In this case, I saw a 20-point, 40-point, 64 loss. So my 20-point run, in effect, got factored by three up to 60. So if I took that current run now and said, right, factor it by three, that would be 64 points. Times it by 392, rounded up 200 points. So now if I hit my worst run of 60 points of a 200-point bank, it would be just over sort of 25% of the bank, which would be comfortable. So as well as looking at that losing run, you've got to look at, you know, what would be the worst losing run, and I'll put a losing run table again on this that you could expect at the odds, and the risk per bet of that, so you can multiply that out. So the worst, if you say you're betting at evens, the worst losing run they reckon that you could expect is something around about 8 bets. So in effect, that would be 8 points there that you could bet in at evens. If obviously you get the worst losing run, couple of winners, worst losing run, you've got to sort of factor those things in of when these runs fall. And as I say, there's no exact science for it, but you've got to err more on the side of caution and stay in the game that, you know, a losing run. Let's say 50% is sort of when you're going to start to get twitchy. A lot of people say, I'm going to commit to the bank, this and the other. And then it gets 50%, they get twitchy. When you're setting up, let's say, right, actually, I want to try and have this capital, then I'm willing to lose it. But when it gets below 75%, I start to get a bit uncomfortable. So factor things off what a losing run would take you down to 75%. You know, a few caveats to that method I've just talked you through is the four times bets are very rare, and certainly at the top price. I'm not sure there's ever been a four game that's come up at the top price. There's been four game definitely, but not at the top price. I genuinely did not think, you've got to remember, I'm laying at a maximum of four. So flip that round, I'm betting round about 1.35. I genuinely did not think that a run of 60 points could happen, when in essence I'm betting on 70-75% chances. So, you know, again, you're always learning in this game. I'm pretty confident I won't see the likes of it again, but I can't possibly rule it out, so I'm now prepared if I do. I just think it was an absolute sort of, you know, aberration of a period. Just sort of coincided with lots of things happening to go wrong at the same time. But, you know, my advice to those of you listening to this and reading it, if it's the reading version in time, is that the most important aspect, if you believe in your strategy, is to be able to stay in the game. My greatest asset has been the ability to stay in the game over a long number of years now. So always expect the worst, 3 to 4 times what you've seen, and set up accordingly from the start. You know, and this was one, you know, I've got many strategies and banks that I use, but this was just one that I got wrong. But you will then be less stressful, and this was stressful. Better to start from a small stake base, be able to survive, than try and be big and end up busting out. You know, if you're in the game, from that position you can grow. But most people give up once the monetary side becomes uncomfortable. So once we've set that bank up, which obviously is all part of strategy building, strategy setup, once we've set that bank up, it is just about the consistency of execution then. You know, I know we live in a world, I've talked about this a few times, where everybody wants everything instantly and wants to bot every bet, as it means, you know, they can earn money with no effort, look at me. I'm not a fan of it. I do have bots, but I still prefer to do some manual trading, as it enables me to see exactly what's going on in the markets on a pretty much day-to-day basis. Bots don't really allow that, you know, and there is not a bot out there that has not missed a bet or malfunctioned, and that just annoys me. One person I know, and I've got the screenshot, which again I may post in the written version of this, lost 77,000 when his Betfair bot manager malfunctioned. And that's always really guarded me. That was a few years back, and he contacted me on a Saturday afternoon, sent me a picture, and he said, if anybody's moaning to you, Ian, about whether FTS beginner games are losing, send them this. So, yeah, you know, one, the bet execution, I understand the consistency of bots, but I do think, people, you want to understand the markets you're in, and I do think that a bit of manual effort makes you see the prices, see what's actually happening, particularly if trading. But it just becomes, that's all it becomes then. If you don't change, if you've built your system, done all the steps, 7 steps, you've then taken that forward into a bank, and we're off and live trading, and we've set that bank up, it is then just your consistency of execution. And hopefully, obviously, your bank's comfortable that you can keep doing it. One final note, again, and this is something that people tend not to look at because we love the winning times, is when you're in that system development, pay your attention to your biggest winning run. It won't go on forever. And if, you know, all runs come to an end, and if building your strategy, the biggest winning run differs to the average winning run. So you should really look at, what is my average winning run here and what is my biggest winning run? And if there's a massive difference between the two, you need to either look at that period and say, what happened there? Or there is a danger it could account for a disproportionate amount of your winnings. And that, to me, would be a bit of a red flag about whether this is going to replicate forward. So winnings are great, but we do need to sort of get them into a, is this expected? is this normal, you know, and obviously if something keeps on winning, we can expect a downturn and we mentally prepare for that. This can't keep on. You know, perhaps that system of mine, winning 300 points in a what is a relatively short space of time, you know, it was due a bit of a correction, and perhaps this minus 60 was a bit of a correction, and now it's back and going again. But you just got to be cautious that anything can happen, and it's as I say, it would be great if there was a button we could click that said what to bet on that. You've got to decide your number of points. My overriding is always to be bomb-proof. Look at what you're risking per bet, and certainly, you know, unless you're odds-on shots, even money shots, you can maybe get away with 50, 75 points. But beyond that, I think you want 3, 4, 5 times your drawdown, just so that you can sit comfortably. And if you never go into it, if you never fall below 75%, you can say, well, I could have used that money. But you can grow from there, and you can always, you know, as I've been able to, you can adjust your bank. There's nothing that says, oh, you can't go in. You know, I'm doing something with somebody now where I'm starting off and I'm going to fund them. I'm going to start small. But I've said, if we get this working, I'll inject more cash in 3, 4 months' time. So I'll put more money into it and, you know, we'll put the stakes up. So in effect, we'll buy a couple of levels of stake increases, and I'll talk about that. I'm happy to do that, but we want to get the process. I want to check I'm happy with his process. I want to check I'm happy with these bets going on. I want to see what my experience of that is, how much liability a day is it going to be, whatever. So all those things I want to factor in. So in effect, he's built the system, he's tested it, he's live bet it, I'm injecting cash, I'm going back a step and going, hang on a minute, yeah, I take all that, but I'm going to forward test it for myself first on smaller stakes, and once I'm happy, I've got no problem putting money in. So, you know, always working on things, but set yourselves up properly, good system thing. I'm going to talk a little bit in the next one about optimizing, overfitting and bits like that, and then I can move into a bit more on actual staking and how we stake these out. As always, thank you for listening.